President Biden and the left are warning that democracy is under attack from Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans. But is the threat actually coming from the left instead? And more importantly, is democracy worth defending? That's what we'll talk about today on Crisis Point. Hello, I'm Eric Sammons, your host and the editor-in-chief of Crisis Magazine. Before I get started, just want to remind everybody to smash that like button. Smash it. Whatever that means, do that. Also, subscribe to the channel, but don't bother notifying because you have a life outside of social media. Also, you can follow us on social media. How do you like that segue? You can follow us on social media at all the various channels at Crisis Mag. We're on Facebook and Twitter. We're on Gitter. We're on Gab. We're probably MeWe, probably other places as well that I can't even remember right now. Okay, so today, let's get into it. I wanted to talk about politics today, and I actually haven't talked about politics a lot in these live podcasts recently. So at Crisis, we try to cover, obviously, what's going on in the Catholic Church, the crisis in the Catholic Church, but also the crisis in the world. So we try to cover politics from a more Catholic perspective to try to get us to understand what's going on in the world and how we can manage with it. So I thought it'd be a good time. We've talked a lot about what's going on in the church recently, but let's talk about politics a little bit. Probably the biggest thing that's happened recently is the famous Biden speech in which he was imitating the Emperor from Star Wars, apparently, and he talked about a threat to our country, particularly the threat to democracy. He mentioned the word democracy 31 times. In his speech, which was given just a couple weeks ago. I'm going to play a little bit of it here. And for those who are watching, you get the full effect of the ominous red lighting behind him, the two military people in the background. And note that the people who organized this knew exactly what it would look like. This wasn't an accident. This wasn't a mistake. This is what they wanted, the message they wanted to send. So let me go ahead and play some of that for you, and we can check that out.
And here, in my view, is what is true. MAGA Republicans do not respect the Constitution. They do not believe in the rule of law. They do not recognize the will of the people. They refuse to accept the results of a free election. And they're working right now, as I speak, in state after state, to give power to decide elections in America to partisans and cronies, empowering election deniers to undermine democracy itself.
I'm going to pause it there, right there for a second. I mean, clearly what he's setting up here from a political angle, what he's trying to say is that if you vote for anybody who is a MAGA Republican, which he leaves somewhat undefined, but basically did not accept the results of the last election, but he kind of makes it broad enough that it could mean just any person who voted for Trump, then you're a problem and you should not be voting in this next election, or we should, more importantly, you should be voting against those people in the next election. So really, this is an electioneering type of speech, but it's much more ominous than that. Let me keep going.
Forces are determined to take this country backwards to an America where there is no right to choose, no right to privacy, no right to contraception, no right to marry who you love.
Okay, I got to pause it there again. Remember, this is our devout Catholic president. And the things he uses as examples of the of bad things, making the country go backwards, and he makes it clear these are MAGA Republicans, bad people who want this, is no right to choose. So in other words, this devout Catholic is saying, so-called devout Catholic is saying, being able to kill your baby is what we want. No right to privacy. That's just too generic to even matter. No right to contraception. First of all, as a Catholic, we should be opposed to artificial contraception. Using it is immoral. But the idea that there's anybody, any real movement to ban contraception is just a thing they do to try to scare up support. And then, of course, no right to marry who you love. Now, remember, when he says going backwards to a time when people didn't have a right to marry who they love, let's go backwards about 10 years when Joe Biden was telling gay people that they couldn't get married. So what he's saying is, don't go back to me from 10 years ago. That's what a MAGA Republican would do. They would support me 10 years ago. But now, of course, I'm totally pro gay marriage because I needed to be in order to get votes. So just that was just an aside to the fact that this is just typical demonizing, but it's amazing that a Catholic president would use all things that a Catholic would be opposed to say what's bad in this country.
They promote authoritarian leaders and they fan the flames of political violence that are a threat to our personal rights, to the pursuit of justice, to the rule of law, to the very soul of this country. They look at the mob that stormed the United States Capitol on January 6th, brutally attacking law enforcement, not as insurrectionists who placed a dagger at the throat of our democracy, but they look at them as patriots.
Okay, I mean, talk about your political hyperbole. January 6th was an insurrection that placed a dagger to the throat of our democracy. Okay, let's just take a step back and ask ourselves, what would have happened if the people who entered the Capitol on January 6th, what was their goal and what would they have done if they succeeded? Remember, nobody walked in there armed. Were they planning on taking Mike Pence hostage without like having any arms? I mean, I don't even understand what was the end goal then? If these were really insurrectionists, why did they have no weapons? Why did they have no plan? I mean, the idea that this is a dagger to the throat of democracy tells me democracy was already very weak then. Democracy was already on the ground dying if January 6th could have killed it. Because January 6th mostly was just, first of all, it was mostly just a bunch of peaceful people protesting, which I thought in this country, in a democracy, you're allowed to do. And then you'd have a few people who went in and a few people who did some dumb stuff. But how is that an insurrection that puts a dagger to the throat of our democracy? It's rewriting history, which is what they've been doing ever since January 6th, in order to make political points. Okay, let me go just a little bit more here.
And they see their MAGA failure to stop a peaceful transfer of power after the 2020 election as preparation for the 2022 and 2024 elections.
In other words, when the Democrats win in 2022, magically, and 2024, if you say that wasn't legitimate, you're just like these insurrectionists.
They tried everything last time to nullify the votes of 81 million people. This time, they're determined to succeed in thwarting the will of the people. That's why respected conservatives like Federal Circuit Court Judge Michael Ludwig has called Trump and the extreme MAGA Republicans, quote, a clear and present danger to our democracy. But while the threat to American democracy is real, I want to say as clearly as we can, we are not powerless in the face of these threats. We are not bystanders in this ongoing attack on democracy.
We'll be back after a quick break.
Playlist shuffled? Check. Drinks on ice? Check. ZBiotics? Make the most of your time with friends by starting your evening with ZBiotics, the only pre-alcohol probiotic designed to make those rough mornings after drinking alcohol a thing of the past. ZBiotics is key for those who live for the moment. Visit ZBiotics.com to learn more.
Okay, that's enough. So basically, though, you see what the theme is here. Democracy is under attack, and it's the MAGA Republicans who are attacking it. And anybody who isn't opposed to MAGA Republicans, very ambiguously defined, is against democracy. If you support Trump, if you support the MAGA Republicans in any way, again, ambiguously defined, then you are against democracy. Now, clearly, in one sense, this is a campaign tactic. They obviously want to just try to, they have nothing to run on in 2022. The left has nothing to run on. What are they going to run on? Inflation? How much more you're spending at the store now? What are they going to run on? The fact that we're involved in a war on the other side of the country. We're sending all this billions of dollars on a war on the other side of the country, which they claim, by the way, is for democracy. They talk all about they're defending democracy. The problem, of course, is that Ukraine was one of the most corrupt governments in the world before the war. We all knew this, along with Russia. I mean, I'm not taking sides on that issue. They were both corrupt. So it wasn't exactly, we're not exactly defending democracy there either. But essentially what they're doing is they have nothing to run on. And so what they have to do is they have to say, okay, we need to pick out a campaign strategy. And it's going to be that if you're against us, you're against democracy. Now, of course, they forget a few points. Like, for example, that Hillary Clinton questioned the 2016 election. Was she anti-democracy for doing that? They forget, they don't mention when he talks about violence, fostering violence. What about the summer of 2020 BLM riots, where far more violence occurred across the country in those riots than they did at the Capitol? So some dude with a Viking hat who goes into the Capitol, that's a worse form of violence than burning down small businesses, than attacking innocent people on the streets. They don't mention that either. So it's clearly a talking point and only a talking point. But it's interesting because it seems like they're ratcheting up the level of their rhetoric. Because if they really believe that MAGA Republicans are fascists, that's what they often call them as well, and they're against democracy, what wouldn't you be justified in doing in trying to stop that? Think about it from their perspective. If you really believe that if Trump came to power in 2024, he would be like Hitler, and you really believe that MAGA Republicans are a bunch of secret Nazis just planning to overtake the country and end democracy as we know it, what wouldn't you do to stop that? After all, if you were living in Germany 1932, wouldn't you try to do everything? Like, if you could go back to that, wouldn't you try to do everything to stop Hitler, stop the rise of the Nazi government? You probably would. And that's essentially what they're saying here. So why wouldn't they lie, cheat, and steal? Why wouldn't they do anything to try to stop that? Now, again, I do think on some level, this is all just a political maneuvering. This whole idea of a threat to democracy is just overhyped hyperbole that they use in order to try to drum up votes. But the fact of the matter is that they are using this language that does suggest that they're willing to do anything to stop it. And just to be clear, I want to make sure I'm very clear about this, because I've said it before in this podcast for those who might not know. When it comes to January 6th, I should say when it comes to 2020 election results, I do think it's possible that Donald Trump actually won. I also think it wasn't proven. I don't think Donald Trump proved it. I think he made a big deal about it. There's a lot of talk about, oh, once this is released, his people kept saying, oh, once we hear this, you'll know. Well, we never did hear the things that made us know. So I don't think it was proven. However, I do think it is possible. I also think it's possible that Trump did lose. But doing that puts me in the category of a MAGA Republican, because I don't worship the results of an election. Just like Hillary Clinton didn't worship the results of the 2016 election, likewise, I don't idolize the results of the 2020 election, as if it couldn't have been a problem. But essentially, Democrats and the left are basically saying, we're going to do anything to stop this, because it's an existential threat to our country. It's an existential threat to democracy itself to stop Trump. And ultimately, that's what this all is. This is all an anti-Trump, keep Trump from running in 2024. We cannot have Trump as the president in 2024. I don't quite know why they think that, considering Trump was president for 4 years. The country did not fall apart like they thought it would. Yes, the big problem from their perspective is abortion was, Roe v. Wade did fall because of Trump's selection to the Supreme Court. And they do worship abortion as their sacrament. So it doesn't surprise me that they would make a big deal about that. But the fact is, we saw in 4 years under Trump, we didn't get Hitler. We didn't get Nazis. We didn't get all the things they claimed we would get. And in fact, in a lot of ways, Trump wasn't that different from previous presidents. I mean, a lot of his appointments were very much normal neocons and other political hacks. His response to COVID wasn't any different that much than what the Democrats would have done at that time. He kept in Fauci and things like that. But yet they've made it like he will be the end of the world if he's elected. But I think they're going farther than that, because what they're doing is they are extremely demonizing a certain segment of the population, the MAGA Republicans. And note, I mentioned a couple times, they're ambiguous about exactly who that is. They say it's not all Republicans, not mainstream Republicans. I think by mainstream Republicans, they mean Liz Cheney and Mitt Romney, who will go along with them on anything. And so a MAGA Republican ultimately is probably just somebody who voted for Trump or would like to see Trump elected in 2024. That's a MAGA Republican. Hey, even somebody who doesn't hate Trump is probably a MAGA Republican in their eyes. And they're demonizing them as enemies to our democracy. Real quick aside, yes, I do know that we live in a republic, and it's a democratic republic, though. So let's not get technical on that. When I say democracy, we're talking about a democratic republic here. And so, but they're labeling a huge amount of our population, of the American population, as threats to democracy. They're labeling them as domestic terrorists. Our vice president, Mrs. Harris, Kamala Harris, she said on Sunday on one of the talk shows, she basically said, yeah, that they're domestic threats that are very harmful that we have to face. What's happened is, and she was talking about MAGA Republicans again. What's happened is that the war on terror, which George W. Bush called 20 years ago, almost exactly 20 years, actually, I guess it'd be 21 years ago now, has now turned into a war on domestic terrorists. And to be honest, there were people warning us back then that this war on terror was not a good idea for the American people. That once you have a loosely defined enemy that you have a undefined war on, that war can turn on a lot of people. And because you can make anybody out to be a terrorist. And that's exactly what's happening. Now MAGA Republicans are basically being turned into domestic terrorists. And after all, we did all those things we wanted to do as terrorists back 20 years ago, the Islamic terrorists, the mostly peaceful religion terrorists. Now what we have to do is we have to look at domestic terrorists. And that's a real shift in political discourse. And no longer are we talking about the other side politically as being somebody that we can argue with, we can debate with, and then we can resolve at the ballot box or in a vote in the Senate or the House. But now it's a matter of these are enemies of the state. These are enemies of democracy itself. We need to crush them. We need to treat them like domestic terrorists. And we need to do everything we can to stop them. And so all the conservatives who supported the war on terror 20-some years ago, now the chickens are coming home to roost. When you give the government that much power to basically have this undefined war with no real boundaries to it, eventually any enemy of the current administration is going to be put into it. So what's ironic here is the fact that Biden and the left are talking about attacks on democracy while they attack democracy itself. Because what is more of an attack on democracy than demonizing and turning an entire segment of the population into enemies, domestic terrorists, need to be arrested? Then they can't vote, right? It happens when you make it where you cannot challenge an election, the results of an election. Because think about it. Let's say there's an election in 2022 coming up here in a couple months. Let's say there's a Senate election here in Ohio. And let's say it's close. And it looks like there might have been some funny business that went on, and the Democrat won. Well, if any Republican dares to challenge those results, then they're immediately labeled a domestic terrorist, somebody who hates democracy, a January 6th conspiracy theorist, and all that. When if just a few votes in a few counties are forgotten to be tallied or over-tallied or whatever the case may be, you very well could have an illegitimate election. And so by acting like you can never question the election, you are actually undermining democracy. Because in a democracy, you should have free and open elections. Open meaning everybody knows what's going on, and it's very easy to keep track of. But that's what they're trying to stop. They're trying to make it so you can't keep track of what's going on in these elections. So essentially, the Dems, the left, they're the ones who are attacking democracy. I think the raid on President Trump's mansion in Florida is another example of an attack on democracy. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe every president has probably committed crimes that are deserving of jail time. That includes Donald Trump, includes Barack Obama, definitely George W. Bush, Clinton, Bill Clinton, that is, Biden, they all should probably be in a jail cell together somewhere. That being said, the raid on the former president's house, a former president who happens to probably be your biggest challenger of the current administration in the next election, a raid on somebody like that is unprecedented in American history. I mean, this is something you hear about in other countries, that you basically have the powers of the state going after any political opponents, because that's what it is. Yeah, is it possible that Trump had some classified documents in his house? Yeah, definitely possible. Is it also possible, even probable that other presidents did the same thing? Yeah, absolutely. But they didn't go after Obama. They didn't go after Bush. They didn't go after Clinton. They didn't go after Senior Bush or anything like that. But they go after Trump. They go after Trump because he's a threat. And that in and of itself is a threat to democracy. I have actually gotten to the point where I think there is a non-zero chance that the 2024 presidential election does not happen. Now, I had some double negatives in there, so you might not follow what I said. I think there's a non-zero chance that the 2024 presidential election does not happen. What I mean by that is, if you asked me a couple years ago, will there be a 2024 presidential election? I'd say, of course, 100% chance there's going to be one. Now, I don't think it's 100% chance. I think it's very slim that we wouldn't have one. So I think it's like maybe 99.999% chance we'll have one. But I think it's possible they're just going to say, forget it, you know, because the fact that they can't win legitimately. They meaning the left, they meaning in the deep state too. I mean, it's not just a left thing. There's many on the right who basically support this as well. The deep state, the status quo, so to speak, the establishment. And so I do think it's possible that we will see the end of democracy in the sense that we won't have a free and democratic election in 2024. I hope I'm wrong. And I think it's likely we will. Again, I do think it's likely. I just think there's a non-zero chance that we won't. Now, I want to turn a little bit my conversation here and take it down a path that you won't hear on Fox News. You won't hear in your typical mainstream conservative outlets or even most Catholic outlets. I want to think about that phrase, the end of democracy. What does the word end mean? It means something being finished, like it's no longer there. However, it has another meaning. Our end is our purpose, the fulfillment of something. So for example, the end of my eyes is to see. That's the purpose of them. Another way to think about it is like what it's going towards. Our end as men and women is God himself. That's what we're destined for. Obviously, we have to be faithful to him for that to happen. But that's our destination. That's our end. What is the end of democracy? Like, what is its fulfillment? What is it driving towards? What's its purpose? I would argue we possibly are seeing it right now, that democracy is a failed system that does not work long term and ends up with exactly what we're getting here, which is a transfer to tyranny, a transfer to this idea of the state controlling your life and bureaucrats of the state controlling your life. It's not something that unifies a country. I just saw yesterday a senator in Australia, who I believe she's a member of the indigenous people of Australia, but I'm not even 100% sure about that. But she was arguing against the monarchy with Queen Elizabeth dying. She was arguing with the end of monarchy. She wanted to get rid of the queen as the head of state of Australia. And she tweeted something to the effect of being able to come together and elect, choose our own head of state will unify us. I just wanted to say, can you come to America? Just hang out here during one presidential election cycle and see what it's like when we try to unite to choose our own head of state. It ends up being a complete disaster. It ends up having us against each other, fighting each other all the time. When everybody has this vote, basically this is what happens is we all hate each other. Everything becomes politicized. Everything you do and say becomes politicized. This is exactly what we're seeing in our world today. When everybody has the same politics, then everything becomes part of politics. You can't do anything without being politicized. We see that today so much that you can't have a television show. You can't have a podcast that is about gardening, for example, that doesn't somehow have to be politicized. And you get canceled and things like that. So what I wonder is, what I think we should question is democracy worth defending? Now, I will admit that this is somewhat of a new evolution or development in my own thinking. And it's because a number of things have been happening. Obviously, the queen passing away last week brought monarchy to the fore again, with King Charles III now being the head of state of the British Empire, the Commonwealth. And of course, people were talking about that. I interviewed Charles Colomb here on this channel a couple weeks ago about monarchy. I did a lot of reading on monarchy. I read this book recently called Democracy, the God That Failed by Hans Hermann Hoppe. I think he pronounced his last name Hoppe. And basically, though, it's like I've started to see things a little bit differently. That democracy is not the panacea. It's not the utopia that we Americans are, frankly, brainwashed to believe it is. And so I wonder if we should be fighting for democracy. Now, most Americans, when they think against democracy, their first thought is tyranny is the opposite. If you don't have democracy, you have tyranny. But that's not true. There have been many political systems throughout history that were neither democracies nor were they tyrannies. Aristotle talks about different types of government. He talks about the aristocracy, monarchy, democracy. He talks about oligarchy, tyranny. There's another one I can't remember. Anyway, another one. And some are good and some are bad. All are imperfect because we live in an imperfect world. So there's no system that's going to be perfect. But I do think we think of democracy as being perfect. Is this something that we have to defend at all costs? And you see, that's why Biden can use that language, because the average American will hear that and say, oh, well, I got to defend democracy. I got to do everything I can to defend democracy, because they believe the alternative is Hitler. Now, just to be clear, Hitler was voted in a democratic republic. So if you're ranking different political systems, Hitler actually goes in the democracy column, because yes, it turned into a tyranny. But that's kind of my whole point here, is that a democracy is the end of democracy. The purpose, the direction it's going, is it directed towards tyranny? Is that what happens? And I'm asking the question. I'm not answering it here because I don't think I have an answer. But a few statistics I found in this Democracy, the God That Failed book that I thought were interesting. Somebody did a study of basically the size and scope of government in the monarchical age, so the age of monarchs. This would be before World War I, basically, versus the size and scope of government during the age of democracy, which is basically 20th century after World War I all the way up to now. In the age of monarchies, the tax burden rarely exceeded 5% of the national product. In the age of democracy, it's risen to about 50% of the national product. So the tax burden was only about no more than 5% of the total national product of a nation before democracies. After democracies, it's 50%. In the age of monarchies, government employment, i.e. how many people work for the government, rarely exceeded 2% of the whole labor force. Whereas in the age of democracy, government employment is typically 15 to 20% of the labor force. And we see that. I live in Washington, D.C., trust me. I mean, a lot of people work for the government. A lot more people work for the government in democracy than they do under a monarchy. In the age of monarchies, military spending was about 2.5% of the national product. So only 2.5% of the entire product was geared towards the military. Now, under democracies, it's 10 to 20% and probably rising. One more. In the age of monarchies, welfare spending, government welfare spending was basically non-existent. There was no such thing. In the age of democracy, welfare spending is around 25% of the national product. So what we see is that under democracies, government grows. It expands. And that makes sense, because if everybody, like I said, is involved in who runs the government, then everybody wants to be part of the government. Everybody becomes part of the government. The government becomes the state. And so is that, and that's what we're seeing in our country today. I mean, just think about what's happened just in the last 2 years. In 2020, in a democracy, we had our leaders basically shutting us at home, shutting down our businesses, restricting anything we could do based upon the possibility and some very bad modeling of a disease. There was no vote. There was no decision by the people. It wasn't actually a democracy. It was a tyranny. When a governor can basically declare a state of emergency that has no end date, and in that state of emergency, give himself powers that were never voted on for him, that's no longer a democracy, it's a tyranny. But isn't that the direction democracy is basically heading? And that's exactly what we see on the national level as well. When more and more authority, I shouldn't say more and more power, is given to the federal government, to the state governments, to governments in general. And so, frankly, democracy, it's not all it's cracked up to be. I think this is a good, somebody makes a great comment here. I want to put this up on the screen. Modern Papist says, not everyone should have the right to vote. People go from democracy to tyranny because it goes from the least variance to the greatest variance. St. Thomas points this out. That's a great point. We have this idea that everybody should vote. It's egalitarianism. However, the founding fathers didn't think that. And I'm not talking about the slaves. Now, obviously, that was a big blind spot for them. What I'm talking about, though, is they really did believe in aristocracy. That I've thought for a long time that if you can't pass a basic civics test, then you shouldn't be allowed to vote. I remember I was working a job. This is probably 25 years ago, and one of the employees, he had immigrated here from, I can't remember what country, another country, and he was becoming an American citizen, and he went to go take a civics test. He comes back to work after he had taken it. And we're all gathered around and ask him, how'd you do? How'd you do? And he's like, oh, I did great. It wasn't too bad. And we're like, well, what are some of the questions? When he started telling us the questions, nobody, except for me, and I'm not saying this as a brag because it's basic knowledge, nobody could answer the questions. Basic stuff like, how many branches of government are there? Which branch of government is responsible for executing the laws of the government or whatever? I mean, it's just like real basic stuff. They could not answer. And yet, they're all allowed to vote. How can you vote on something you know nothing about? So I would very much be supportive of a law that said only those who can pass a basic civics exam, and that'd be like that difficult, can vote. I also think we should consider the idea of a vote only for property owners. Because ultimately, that's who is the owner of an area. They should be the ones who should be allowed to vote. In fact, that's kind of the whole argument made from a monarchy over democracy is monarchy. You have an owner, the monarch. He, in a sense, owns the whole country. And so he wants to take care of it. Just like when you own a home, you want to take care of it. And you want to pass it on even to the next generation. Whereas if you're a renter, if you're a caretaker, like in under a democracy, you just want to get what you can out of it when you're there. We all know that. I mean, I've lived in apartments. I've lived in houses. And I try to be very respectful when I've rented places, but I don't treat it the same as when I own a place. And as somebody who is a property owner for rentals, rental property owner, I can tell you, renters do not care for property the same as owners do. And so maybe just let property owners vote as well. So my point here is this, that we should not treat democracy as an idol. As Hans Hermann Hoppe says, it's the god that failed. If you look at the actual results, it's not the perfect form of government. In fact, it has a lot of things wrong with it. Now, that being said, let me wrap it up by, what should we do now? We're not going to turn into a monarchy. There's no chance in America, other than divine intervention, that America would also convert into a monarchy, or most countries today that are democracies would. So we should participate in the democratic process. Actually, interesting, Hoppe, in his book, he talks about, like, you shouldn't even participate in it. Don't give support to the lie that is democracy. I don't think we should do that. We participate the best we can, but we understand it's not an idol. We should realize that it's ultimately it will morph into tyranny unless we fight very hard against that natural inclination. We're actually opposing the natural ends of democracy when we oppose tyranny in a very real sense. So it's not this magical form of government. Now, the left, like I said, decries the potential end of democracy. But I would argue it's possible they are actually furthering the end, meaning the purpose, the direction of democracy, by their embrace of tyranny and trying to become a more tyrannical state. I think that's a very good possibility. So we do have to oppose that. So be involved, again, like I said, in the democratic process, but understand it's not something that we should defend above all else and think that it's the idol that has to be kept in place. It's not, and it, in fact, can lead to a lot of bad stuff, which we're seeing today. So let's fight against those things and try to work with the process that we have the best we can. And like any form of government, it works best with a good and moral people. And so that's the first thing we should do. If we live good and moral lives and we vote that way, that's the best way we're going to affect change. But honestly, it might be one of those things where one day, maybe my lifetime, maybe my kid's lifetime, the American people realize democracy isn't all it's cracked up to be. Hopefully they won't choose tyranny. Hopefully they'll choose something better than democracy, which would likely be an aristocracy or a monarchy. Okay, well, that's it for now. Hopefully that was some mind-blowing type of thoughts for you to think about. It's stuff I've been thinking about lately, and I hope you enjoyed that. But until next time, God love you.